In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want us to take a close look this morning at this section we heard from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. You feel free to look at it yourselves in the bulletin as we go through it. But I want to highlight several things that St. Paul said because they really relate to practically how do we live the faith, how do we live out the gospel message. Paul begins today by telling us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have to pay close attention here to what St. Paul is saying and what he's not saying. He's saying the fruit, singular, is, and then he lists off these things. He's not saying plural. The fruits are. Why do I make that distinction? I make it because if we are living the life of the gospel, if we're living according to the Spirit, we have this fruit, and we have all of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth that he mentions. It's not the fruits as though we get to pick and choose which fruits. I want to be joyful, but I'm not going to be faithful. I have peace, but not that much self-control. No, that's not the way that it works, brothers and sisters. If we're truly following the gospel teaching, if we have the fruit of the Spirit, then we have all of these things. And if we don't have all of these things, then it means we need to continue to repent. It doesn't mean we're bad people. Don't get me wrong. As St. Paul teaches us elsewhere in the book of Romans, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But let none of us think that if we have, in our own minds at least, mastered one of these things, it's okay. We have one of the fruits of the Spirit. No, there's one fruit, and it has many different manifestations based upon the different situations we find ourselves in life. So we have to continue to cultivate in ourselves all of these: love and self-control, joy and faithfulness, kindness and patience, and so forth. All of these things, because together they are the one fruit of the Spirit. And St. Paul tells us then later, related to that, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This idea of walking by the Spirit or walking with God, it means that we're following His teaching in the way that we live our lives. And we see this going clear back into the Old Testament, clear back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, where God is walking, Adam and Eve are walking in the garden with God together as one. And of course, then they sin. And that's when the biblical story takes off and we get to where we are today. And our constant goal then is to walk with God, is to walk by the Spirit. And what's so important for us to understand about this is that to walk with God, while it may involve, in some respects, a confession of faith, while it may involve the way that we think, it's not solely what we think in our minds or what we confess with our mouths, but it is the way that we live on a day-to-day basis. It's not enough for us to come here on Sundays and to confess the Nicene Creed. It's not enough for us to say that we're Orthodox Christians. It's not enough for us to say our daily prayers and to talk to our friends about the faith. Yes, of course, we should do all of these things. But all of those things are not the goal. They're means to reaching the goal. The goal is that we walk by the Spirit, that we live our lives the way that God asks us to live, that we would show forth this fruit that St. Paul talks about. And when we do that, we can see then how we can live as St. Paul tells us, let us have no self-conceit. In other words, let us not think too highly of ourselves. Now, I spoke with a man earlier this week. We were talking about the spiritual life, trying to become better Christians. And one of the conclusions that we came to, one of the things that I said, is that the Christian life in some respects could be summed up as us getting rid of our ego. Getting rid of this idea that we seem to have for some reason since the time that we're born, that we're the center of the universe. And of course, most of us, I hope at least, most of us adults can now confess with our mouths, I'm not the center of the universe. But if we look at the way that we live our lives, if we actually examine the way that we think, we often behave and we often think as though we're the center of the universe, and that's why we have conceit. That's why we tend to think highly of ourselves and of our needs. But the Christian life is putting aside our own ego, putting aside our own needs to serve others. St. Paul tells us not to provoke one another. You know, many times people ask me a very good question. How do we show love for our enemies, especially in severe circumstances, when severe sins have been committed against you? How do you show love for your enemy? There are times, I've said it before, I say it again, there are times that someone sins against us to the extent that we cannot, practically speaking, have a relationship with them here on earth. We can't ever be friends. We're not going to hang out with them and so forth. How do we show them love? Well, a way to love them and to forgive our enemy is to not provoke them. We might not ever be able to be good friends. We might not ever be able to share the same space with them again because the sin was so severe, but we can stop ourselves from provoking them. We can stop ourselves from trying to make them sin. We can stop ourselves from trying to make them continuously look bad and gossip about them. So that's why St. Paul tells us not to provoke one another and not to envy one another. He tells us elsewhere, St. Paul does, that we should weep with those who weep and we should rejoice with those who rejoice. When we see good things happen to others, rather than being envious and wishing it had happened to us, thinking, why didn't it happen to me? We should rejoice with them, especially those in our own community, our own Christian community, our own parish here at St. Mary. And finally, St. Paul, in this section, concludes, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, if we wish to fulfill the law of Christ, which I assume is why we're here today, is to learn to do that and to be on that path of doing it, we do that by bearing one another's burdens. And that's why we constantly repeat in the words of the Divine Liturgy and in the preaching the life and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the one who bore that great burden for us, the burden of sin, by offering himself up as a sacrifice. And what he asks most of us is that then we would follow in his footsteps in that same way. As I said before, not just confessing with our mouth, but as the prophets say, letting our hearts still be far from him, but rather to both confess with our mouth and to live the way that he lived, which ultimately was to bear one another's burdens. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.